back to the guy who always sounds like he's smiling.
Yes, basically I'm a happy person.
So am I.
And I don't see that there's anything wrong with that.
Of course not. You're too busy being happy.
Well, most of the time. Here's Wes Moore.
Let's talk more about the Super Regional. Arkansas and South Carolina, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We got Matt Jones from WholeHogSports.com on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Matt, welcome to the show. You doing okay?
Yes, I'm doing well. Looking forward to the weekend. How are you?
I'm good. Same here. Although I was wanting Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but I guess it's not too big of a deal. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Your thoughts on Saturday, Sunday, Monday?
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me. When you look at what the NCAA tries to do is they try to get the teams that are going to play on the same side of the bracket in Omaha to play on the same day as in their super regionals. And when you look at the teams that are in that, you know, the other seven teams that are in that bracket for Arkansas and Omaha, South Carolina was on the road yesterday. They have to go home, then they have to fly out somewhere else. Florida played until late last night. Tennessee Tech is kind of in the same situation. South Carolina was in Duke, the same thing. You know, they were in Georgia. They're going to have to fly to Lubbock. And so it gives them an extra day to travel. There were just a lot of teams that were going to either have to travel or they played late into Monday, and it gives them an extra day of travel, extra day of rest. So it didn't surprise me at all that, you know, they put the Arkansas-South Carolina series on Saturday, Monday. In fact, that's kind of what I expected to see.
Do you think it means anything attendance-wise, being Saturday, no. Sunday, Monday?
No, because, you know, if they end up playing, obviously there are going to be a lot of people there on Saturday, and there are going to be a lot of people there on Sunday. And if they end up playing Monday, it's going to be on a Monday night. And, you know, the Arkansas's had some regional games on Monday nights at Baum. I remember in 2010 they played Washington State there. Last year they played Missouri State there on a Monday night. And those games were not hurting for attendance. When you get a meaningful game in Fayetteville, it doesn't really matter what the sport is. People are going to show up for it. We've got a photographer who works for us. He said if Arkansas had a chess team and they're, you know, in a chess championship, there might be 1,000 people come to watch them because that's just how loyal Arkansas fans are.
What do you think about the matchup with South Carolina?
Well, I think it's a good matchup for Arkansas. Arkansas has obviously beaten them 3 or 4 times this year, and really in the one loss, they had plenty of chances to break that game open. They loaded the bases 4 times in that game, hit into a double play in one inning, and then stranded the bases loaded in 3 others. And in all 4 instances where they loaded the bases, they didn't score a run. And, you know, you just get one hit, and maybe that game goes a different way. And on Sunday, or on the, it was a Thursday-Saturday series, the Saturday games, you know, the night before, there had been a tornado that came through, hit Mountainburg just down the road from Fayetteville. It really turned the temperature cold, you know, and the teams didn't seem like they were playing too loose. You know, cold temperatures really affect baseball teams, and it seemed to affect both of them that day. And, you know, the pitching was ahead of the hitting that day. The ball didn't really carry at Baum, and so I think that this series is going to be a lot different than the one we saw in the regular season. I think it's going to be a more high-scoring series. I think it'll be something, maybe not the 13-8 game that they played in Hoover, but, you know, somewhere in between those 2-0, 3-2, 3-0 games they played in Fayetteville and the 13-8 game they played in Hoover. I think that you know, the win pattern in Fayetteville the last week or so has been really conducive to home runs. You saw 24 home runs hit through the first 5 games of the regional. The ball really travels when it gets warmer here. And so I think that, you know, it could be a little bit more high-scoring series than what we saw them play.
Matt Jones with us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Matt, let's go back to the regionals. I mean, I don't think it could have gone any better, could it, Friday and Saturday? That was the perfect scenario that the coaches, the fans could ask for.
Well, and it opened them up to be able to go to their bullpen early when Isaiah Campbell wasn't finding the strike zone in the third game against Dallas Baptist. You know, what's pretty amazing to me is that this is an Arkansas team that, you know, they don't really have that deep of a bullpen. They've got a lot of arms, but, you know, the number of quality arms that they go to there, you know, there might be 4 of them if you put Cole Ramage with, you know, Matt Cronin and Barrett Lowski and Jake Reindl. They won a regional without ever having to throw Barrett Lowski, and I thought that was, you know, pretty amazing to see, especially with the type of offensive teams that were in that regional. Southern Miss came in You know, I think they were top 15 in the country in batting average. I know they were top 15 in home runs hit. Dallas Baptist, the same thing. They had a couple of really good hitters on their team. Granberg, who was the most outstanding player of the regional, and Jameson Hanna, who was a second-round pick last night. And Arkansas really shut all those teams down. And I thought that was pretty impressive, especially given how, in all of the other games, and even in Arkansas's game against ORU and Southern Miss, the ball was really flying out of the ballpark. And so to hold the rest of the regional teams to 7 runs in 3 games, I thought that was really impressive.
Matt Jones, WholeHogSports.com with us. Matt, hitting-wise, Arkansas was, they hit the ball well until, the deciding game Sunday night and just, scratched out enough runs. How do you feel about this offense going into the Super Regional?
Well, I thought they actually hit okay in the final game. Maybe not great by Arkansas standards, but this is a team that's averaging, 9 or 10 hits a game. So when they get 7 and they're all singles, it's going to bring down that high slugging percentage just a little bit. But, Eric Cole, the first bat of the game, hits it in the hole at the shortstop, and he just makes a great play, turns and gets him at first base. And I think the shortstop made another pretty good play in the first inning to get Casey Martin. And I thought offensively they did okay in that game. But I thought maybe the first couple of innings they looked a little tight offensively. It took Jared Gates' hit in the third or fourth inning whenever he got it. It seemed like it really started to kind of loosen them up a little bit, and they played well over the final 4 or 5 innings of that game. But this team's really hard to beat at bomb because they play really good offense at bomb. They can hit home runs, but they can also hit doubles and triples. And, they really play that ballpark well. They know how to, fit a ball down on the foul line, whether it's a pull or an opposite field hit. They really hit opposite field well at bomb. They go first to third really well at bomb. And I just think that it's going to be really hard for South Carolina to come in and beat them 2 of 3 times when no team's been able to do that all season. They've won all 8 of their 3-game series in Fayetteville.
You mentioned Eric Cole. I had some friends over, and when we saw that and then he was thrown out, we all kind of looked at each other like, wow, that surprised us. Is his foot still bothering him? Is he full speed?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's still bothering him. You can tell when he runs the ball down in right field. He can hit his top speed, but then whenever, he kind of slows back down to a jog, you can tell that he's kind of grimacing a little bit. Actually made that comment in the box the other day. I would hate to see what his foot looks like right now because I'm sure it's just swollen and bruised and, looks pretty nasty because he's taken so many foul balls off that foot this year, and it's hobbled him quite a bit. And he's been hobbled, though, for the last couple of months. He's played through it. And it really hasn't slowed him down offensively. He had his first home run the other day for the first time in about a month, but he's still been doing okay offensively, maybe minus the SEC tournament when he had a couple of hits, I think, in 3 games. I think it's slowing him down, but I don't think it's anything to be concerned about.
What does Jared Gates mean to this team?
He's really good in the postseason. He was really good in the postseason last year. You remember the 3 a.m. game, Phil's great call, 2:52 in the morning, he hits the home run that, kind of woke everyone up on 15th Street. And, even the next night when Arkansas didn't hit too well, he had a home run in that game and tied it in the middle innings. And I think both years with him, it's been key that he's been able to get healthy late in the season. A lot of people forget that last year he broke a bone in his hand that kept him out for 5 or 6 or 7 weeks at the start of the season after he had been their best hitter in the preseason. And, this year he had the pulled hamstring in early April. I think that slowed him down a little bit, made it to where, not only was he, not able to maybe leg out a hit, but then if he does get on base, you have to go station to station, and it might even, limit him mobility-wise a little bit from his defensive position at first. And people will focus on the hits that he had in the regional, but he made 2 outstanding defensive plays, I thought, in the Southern Miss game, laying out for a ball that went into foul ground to, make an out in the late innings. And then the other day against DBU when Jameson Hanna's on first base after the umpire blew the safe out call there, Matt Cronin throws over, and Jared Gates makes an outstanding play to keep that ball from going over into the, you know, the foul area, maybe even to the stands. And with Jamison Hanna's speed, it's not out of the question that he might have been able to go first to third if that ball takes a funny hop. And, you know, so I think Gates has just been really good for them in the postseason. He's a real smart player, kind of a quiet guy. You know, he just goes about his business, and those are the types of players I think that do well this time of year. And it doesn't surprise me at all to see him have the success that he's had over the last couple of weeks, because he's starting to get healthy now.
The MLB draft is about to begin. Were you surprised Blaine wasn't taken in the first two rounds?
No, I wasn't surprised. You know, the MLB draft, I was texting my brother-in-law last night. He said, were you surprised Blaine didn't go? And I said, no, the MLB draft is just like baseball. It's an unconventional. You don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, it really, if you're taken in the first 10 rounds, you're fine. Yeah, the slot value says it's a little bit better to go in the first round than the second, or the second than the third. But, you know, you see teams all the time take players in the top 10 rounds who are not top 10 round players, just so they can get the money right to sign some of these other guys that they like. And so wasn't surprised by that. I think he'll go off the board early today.
Hey, while we're talking about pitching, next year's staff is going to look a whole lot different. Starting rotation, the bullpen, you know, I guess Cronin will be around. Have you ever found out any more on Jackson Rutledge and what happened there? That, you know, it's just surprising because of his talent and the opportunity that will be here next year.
Yeah, I haven't found out anymore. You know, I just think that, you know, it was a deal where, you know, they disagreed that it was best for him to move on. And then I'm talking about they, you know, the pitcher and the coaching staff. For whatever reason, you know, it wasn't working out for him at Arkansas. But as far as next year's pitching staff, to get Cronin back, and one of the things to watch in the draft the next couple of days, Wes, is going to be where Barrett Loeschke and Jake Rind will go, because those are a couple of really interesting pitchers, I think, in this year's draft. They're not really the type that you think are going to go in the top maybe 10 or 12 rounds, which is where, you know, really the money is in the draft. And so you start wondering, you know, if one of them goes in, say, the 16th round or the 18th round or somewhere in there, which is where I think they probably project a little bit more toward, you know, I think there might be a decision there for those two, you know, to say maybe we can come back, be in more of a starring role next season, whether it be as a starter or, you know, just reinforcing their role out of the bullpen. So I think there's a chance that those two could be back, but it's going to be a little bit of a rebuilding year on the mound. One of the questions is going to be whether or not Keaton McKinney is able to, you know, come back from the second Tommy John surgery that he had. We'll probably know by about December whether or not he's going to be able to pitch for Arkansas next season, or you know, pitch ever again, you know, for that matter. Kevin Copps, who was a really good reliever for them last season, started the SEC Tournament Championship game against LSU, was a weekend or a midweek starter, even started a couple of other weekend games. He had Tommy John surgery in the offseason. He'll be back next year. I think that's a pitcher that a lot of people forget about. And then I think Isaiah Campbell's got a decision to make. He's a pitcher that the scouts really like. Baseball America rates him, I think, the 73rd best prospect in this year's draft. But he's a redshirt sophomore, and so he still has a year of leverage to where he could potentially come back, you know, be in more of a starring role in the weekend rotation. You know, maybe he comes back and he can, you know, help himself out quite a bit. He's going to be one to watch today. It'll be really interesting to see whether or not he prices himself out of these top 10 rounds. And, you know, my thought on these players are if they fall past about the 12th to 14th round, and they've got another year of eligibility left, let alone another year of bargaining power, then I start to think that the chances are a little bit better for them to come back.
Matt, good stuff, man. Appreciate your time as always. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Jones, WholeHogSports.com. When we come back, we'll name the Razorback of the day. Still to come, we'll talk a little football with J.D. Plumley out of Fountain Lake. He's set to join us at 12:15. And Heath Klein, who covers the South Carolina Gamecocks, he'll join us at 12:45. Stick around. It's Game On.